Jay?
I think so, Diggs. You want me to turn down the music? I'll turn down the music. Are you calling Mr. Lombardi?
Yeah, Lombardi's got to get on. Gumpy's got to get in here.
Are you hosting from there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I hope you guys give this dude a chance. He's a really good gambler. Michael Lombardi is like just a money hander outer, basically. Every Monday, Thursday, Friday, they'll be live here. Monday will obviously be recapping their Sunday bets, plus also giving you a preview on Monday Night Football. Thursday, they'll be obviously previewing Thursday Night Football in the first couple games.
Yep.
Friday, they'll be giving you locks into the weekend. They'll also be promoting our absolute locks and super boosts we have every single week with FanDuel. Ladies and gentlemen, to get this thing started, the host of Hammered Don, Don Diggs. Good luck. I'm leaving. I'm out of here, Diggs.
That's a one-man show right here. I'm here by myself. Welcome to Hammered Down. As Pat said, we're going to do this live every Monday, Thursday, and Friday. Pat's going to stop in every once in a while when he decides that he has a super boost, super lock that he wants to promote.
I do, by the way. I do have one, by the way. I can turn my mic on and off, by the way. Just leave me on. The super boost that we have right now at FanDuel is Patrick Mahomes, 300-plus yards, three touchdowns, and a Chief win tonight. It got boosted from plus 170 to plus 270. And I thought that the boost should have been lifted a little bit more, but the people at FanDuel said, if he throws for 300 and three touchdowns, he's probably going to win. So we can't just add up all the odds boost for all those things. Plus 270, more than double your money. That seems like a lock tonight, especially with how we've been talking about the Chiefs and what they're going to do. So I'd like to throw my hat in for the first official bet choice of Hammered Down, which will be tracked, that the Patrick Mahomes super boost on FanDuel right now for all players, 300 yards, three tutties, and the Chiefs winning at plus 270. Go ahead and take all your money and put it on there. Well, actually, you can only put $50 back, but if that's all you got, put it all on there. I think that's a lock for this evening.
Yep, we're tracking that now. And I was surprised that it was only plus 170 to start and it was going up to 270. I thought it should have been probably 270 going up to maybe 370 plus 400.
Me too.
I will be running the show. I am Tone Diggs, joined by Gumpy every single day. Like I said, Pat's going to jump in, but I mean, we've been doing gambling podcasts now in PMI for 3-4 years.
Yeah.
And I just don't know that we've ever had the credibility that we're going to have on this show, because we'd like to welcome to the show a former NFL GM. He literally did every single position in an NFL organization, all the way from scout, all the way up through player development, in the offices, coaching, everything. NFL GM at the top, Mr. Michael Lombardi.
Attaboy, my God!
Hey, and I also drove cars too. So I mean, that was another thing. You missed that. I drove Bill Walsh around. So you know, that was that. You know, the more you can do, they say, the better off you are. So I think that's what works. You learn the ground floor. It's always important.
Michael, who'd you learn more from, Belichick or Walsh?
Well, you know, I knew nothing when I started working for Bill Walsh, so I learned so much. I was a blank tape when I started working for him. And with Belichick, you know, the Walsh spurred on the learning, and then, of course, with Bill, I learned so much. So, I mean, the both of them are probably, you know, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think of something Walsh told me to do or Belichick often reminds me of, you know. So it's really hard to split. But, you know, when you're young and you're impressionable and Bill Walsh is telling you what to do, you know, that's a pretty powerful thing.
Michael, I mean, we could go for days about your stories within the NFL, and we will throughout the entire year. But we brought you onto the show for one reason. That was to give winners. You were 87% last season. Was that?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
I was 67%. In fact, I had the guy, Brian Peters, on Twitter. He keeps track of it for me because he can come up with these really cool graphics, which I'm incapable of coming up with. So, and he just sent it to me today, and I ended up being, for the regular season, 46-22-2.
Is that good?
Is that good? I don't know. I mean, I'm just talking with you. You tell me. I don't know. You know, I'm not Vegas Dave. I get that. You know, I mean, that man's extraordinary. You know, he saw his Instagrams down now today. Wonder why. You know, that's what they call the Bernie Madoff of gambling. But anyway, I think this is going to be an interesting first month of September. I really do. I think you better be – don't go too fast too early in this season. I think we're going to learn a lot tonight. I think we're going to learn an awful lot on Sunday. I think we'll learn Monday. And then I think we can start to finally figure some things out. But I would be cautious to jump all in and say, yeah, this is what I know for a fact.
To your point, Gumpy and I were actually talking about this earlier because someone tweeted out that they were going to take the first 2 weeks of the NFL season off from gambling just to see what happens. And I wish I wish I could do that, but like us in this office, we're just too big of a degenerates, and we're doing a gambling show. We can't just take the first 2 weeks off. But yes, that in an ideal world, that would be what we'd be looking to do.
Right. I mean, and you know, and that's why you got to rely on people like us to help you to get through this, because, you know, I'm going to look at every single game. I'm going to watch tape on every game. I'm going to study each team because I haven't had the preseason to do that. Not that preseason is really a great indication of what the first game of the season is going to be like. But my question is who's sitting on that Miami team from week one last year? Mm-hmm. You know, what team is going to get just completely killed like Baltimore killed Miami last year? You know, most people would say that's Indy. Mm-hmm. But the betting market doesn't say that's Indy. You know, if you go to the betting market today and you look at the betting market and you say, you know, what is the trends of the betting market? They would say Washington, Jacksonville, and Miami are the three teams that people seem to really like. You know, and for me, I think, you know, we have to understand that people that listen to this podcast, that the betting market and where the money flows is really, really important to where you want to place your bet. It's really important because what happens is where the money goes, where the sharp money goes, where the action's coming in from is really going to tell you what to bet. And we can all bet, hey, I think New England's going to win by two touchdowns. That's great. That's a thought. That's not really a conviction. The money will tell you where the analytics is going to go.
Yeah, and that's big because you were just talking about those three teams, and you'll learn this from me throughout the season. I'm kind of a contrarian guy. If the public's huge on one side, I like to go to the other side. I'm also a big under guy. But yeah, we're getting all.
I am too, Dix. Look, here's what I like. I like this. There's a perfect scenario that I like. I like a low ticket count on a team, but a high money count mm-hmm. on a team. I like because that tells me there's a lot of money. I like action. I like, you know, like let's just take for example Las Vegas and Carolina.
Yep.
You know, there it's not a high ticket count. There's only 1,000 tickets being written up for this game. But 82% of the money is on the Raiders. See, I never would play that. That would eliminate Las Vegas for me.
And that's why that line moved from what was it 1 and 1.5. Now it's up to 3, which is one of the key numbers in gambling.
And it could go to 3.5. And if it doesn't go to 3.5, for you people listening, if it doesn't go to 3.5 with that much steam behind it, that means the book is scared. The sharps are going to come in and take it at 3.5.
And when you guys are listening to us this season, I believe Michael's using VSiN's numbers as far as percentage of bets and where the money's coming from. We're using OddsFire, which works with FanDuel. So, but they're going to be similar. And another one of those situations is I got 70% of the bets are on Chicago, but only 58% of the money's on Chicago. So, I think the sharps are jumping on like the Lions too as well in that situation.
Well, yeah, you know, and I have it reversed here. So it's interesting you said that. So I have the ticket count pretty much down the middle, but all the money's coming in on Chicago. Once that line went from one, once they announced my dear friend MVP Mitch as the starter, that line shot up to 3. And, you know, look, let's face it. I think if you go back and watch Mitch last year, he played well in the two games against Detroit. You know, he knows how to play Detroit because Detroit's not a complicated team to play. So, you know, these are all the things I think you've got to weigh into before you put cash to the window.
All right, Michael. So what we're going to do pretty much every Thursday, we'll go through the 1 o'clock games, the first seven-ish games this week. And then if you have any thoughts on tonight's college football game, then tomorrow we'll do the next seven games for the NFL slate. And then obviously we'll do all of our winners on Friday so we can keep track of it all together. But if you want to talk about them during here too as well, Gumpy, same with you, of course. Gumpy's also a big footy guy, Michael. So if you need any soccer picks, he's your guy for that as well.
Yeah, I mean, my Essendon team down in Australian football, they kind of let me down. So yeah, I'm going to need all the help I can get on that.
Yeah, I was on North Melbourne, Mike, so you're still better than me, pal.
All right, so let's start tonight. Texans at Chiefs, 8:20 on NBC. Current line I'm seeing is 9.5. That's what it's been around there. It's been around 10, 10.5, 9.5 the entire time, over under 54.5. Michael, I just want to get your early thoughts, and then we got a couple questions for you on the game.
Well, look, I think, you know, when you go through this game, everybody focuses on the 24-0 comeback, mm-hmm. right? Well, I mean, in week six of the season, the Chiefs played Houston. Houston controlled the football for 39 minutes. They won the game 31-24. In that game, they got behind, I think, 17-0, Houston did. And then they came roaring back. I think this is about pace. I think this is about control. I think what we miss a little bit about Kansas City is how good they played defensively last year at the end of the season. Since Mexico City, they were fabulous, even though they gave up some points in the playoffs. But no team really could move the ball on them other than Houston. New England scored 16 on them in I think, week 14. The Chargers scored 21 on them in week 17. So they play great defense. That's the unknown story. I think Houston's offense is explosive. Uh-huh. Now, we don't know about Brandon Cooks tonight. I think that's a key guy. But Will Fuller makes a difference to what they do. Will Fuller and Deshaun Watson, have great, great chemistry together. And I think they're going to move the football on Kansas City. I don't think Kansas City is going to be as good defensively as they were at the end of the year. Now, we know Kansas City is going to be great offensively, and Houston leaves a lot to be desired. But I think play is going to be rather sloppy tonight.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you about Brandon Cooks because, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, great wide receiver, but in no way was he a burner. With Cooks and Fuller, who both have a lot of speed on each side, it's tough to double one of those two.
Right.
And then and then I was going to ask, so I was talking to a guy, and he thinks that David Johnson may have a bounce back year because the Texans run a similar offense to Bruce Arians. Have you watched any tape on that?
Well, no, but I mean, I've talked to people in the league, and I think everybody's pretty high on David Johnson having a really good year this year. Look, David Johnson's healthy, and he's a good player. So, and they know how to use him. And Duke Johnson, along with David, it gives them basically five receivers in the game at all time. What you don't want to have is an offense that only has three receivers in a game or four receivers in a game. You want five all the time, because that challenges the defense. Think of it this way in basketball. When the Rockets spread the floor and they have five guys lined up behind the three-point, the defense has to cover it. It spreads everything out. It's the same thing in football. When you have five guys that can catch the ball, they're really problematic, and that's what Houston has. And look, every time we would see DeAndre Hopkins' stats, it always was attached to, here's what Will Fuller means to the offense, here's what he doesn't mean to, and when he doesn't play. They never did that number when Hopkins was on the field. They always did it when Will Fuller was and wasn't on the field. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who drives that offense because of his incredible speed, along with his incredible ability to make plays down the field. So, you know, I think this is – and Watson's a great point guard. So Kansas City's going to have their work cut out for him tonight.
Just looking at stats from last year, Mike – they're actually very good against the spread on the road, 5-2-1. Do you put any thought into that looking at this game?
I think teams that play good on the road, and we've seen, you know, last year, I think home teams won 51%, road teams won 49%. So that home field advantage is a little bit tainted. Any team that can score points and throw the ball effectively can play on the road. When I worked for the 49ers with Coach Walsh, his belief was offense wins on the road because we can set the tempo on the road. And that's why Walsh in his career had a better road record than he did a home record. And when you can score, what quiets the crowd more than anything? Scoring. Mm-hmm. First downs. You know, the crowd goes silent when you get first downs. The crowd goes silent when you score. That's how you win. And when you can do that offensively, that's when you're really a good road team.
Michael, so what was it? It was BYU and Navy on Monday night. And yeah. As soon as I saw this stat pop up, the BYU's offensive line had 86 career starts. I knew that that might maybe an issue for an Army defense, and an Army defense that hasn't done any tackling. How much are you looking into how many returning starters are on each team and things like that?
Well, I think that's really important. These guys, I mean, I think it's going to be sloppy no matter how many starters you have back, right? I mean, like, look, Houston's going to start their last year's first-round pick, Howard, at right tackle. Mm-hmm. He missed a lot of last season. You know, their guard, Zach Fulton's going to have to block Chris Jones. He's a really good player. I think everybody's pad level is going to get high. But I think more than anything, I think conditioning is going to be the biggest factor. Like, you know, I think conditioning, guys are going to get tired fast, right? They're going to get tired because it's different to practice than play a game. You know, and in a game, you go 10 plays in a row. You may go 8 plays in a row. You're going all out. In practice, you're not going that all out. So I think fatigue, as Vince Lombardi said, makes cowards of us all. I think fatigue is going to play a huge role. If you dress 55 guys for this game or whatever the NFL lets you dress for these games, you better play them all because everybody's going to get tired.
All right, Michael, I got some trends here before we get to see if you have any picks for tonight. Kansas City is 7-0 against spread the last 7 games with Mahomes, yeah, obviously, as a starting quarterback. The reigning Super Bowl champs are 13-5-2 against the spread in the next season's opener. And then the favorites in Houston and KC are 5-1 against the spread run in that series. Are you leaning away tonight?
You know, I mean, my instincts tonight tell me is the under should be in play, mm-hmm, because I don't think execution's going to be very good. I think there's going to be wet balls. The stadium, there's going to be mist. It's going to be in the 50s, so the weather's not going to be – the wind won't be a factor. I just think it's going to be hard to have pristine execution. Like, that's why we practice, because we practice to have great execution. You know, Belichick would often say practice execution becomes game reality, right? That was one of his big sayings. Well, if you don't have a lot of practice time, how do you get to game reality? It's hard. So I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. I would say the under for me is something that I would. Again, I'm not going to play this game. I would recommend the under, and I would recommend taking the points. I think Houston can score. I think Houston and Deshaun Watson is really competitive. I know that their defense is limited,
yep,
but I think they're going to be able to score. I'm not saying they're going to win the game tonight, but I think they're going to give them a good game.
Yeah, I know they added Roby to the secondary. The secondary still worries me a little bit. So let's jump. Let's do a couple other games this weekend before we get out of here today. Bears at Lions, like we talked about earlier, the Lions 3, over under 44.5. My question for you, and I've heard you talk about this before, is that Mitch does okay against defenses where if whatever he watches on Wednesday and Thursday shows up on the field on Sunday. Is Detroit Lions and Matt Patricia, is that one of those defenses?
No doubt. So here, what I said, what I meant by that was simply this. So when Matt Nagy can script practice on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and the game comes off the same way as that script, then Trubisky knows where to go with the football. And the proof's in the pudding. I mean, last year against them, last year my man, MVP Mitch, who at times can, you know, last year he was 29 for 38 against them for 338, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, so that's why. Now, if he were playing Greg Williams and the Jets on opening day weekend, I would be out on Mitchell, because you're playing Rubik's Cube if you're playing Greg Williams. You have no idea what he's going to do. You can't simulate practice. This team, you can. They're going to be in a lot of cover one. The middle of the field's going to be closed. And Nagy can go to Trubisky in the headset and say, hey, look, we're going to run indigo here. Hold on the dig. The dig's going to come open late. Click. And he'll do it. But when he can't predict it that cleanly, it's going to be harder for him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the Lions bounce back a bit here, knowing that it's going to be the last shot for Patricia at all?
Well, I think, look, Matthew Stafford, to me, is the best quarterback in the – I know, okay, you guys had Aaron Rodgers on the show,
okay,
the day, but I think Matthew Stafford's the best quarterback in the North. I mean, and I got the stats to – I mean, what he did last year, he was the best quarterback in the North for the 8 games. You know, Rodgers has averaged 7.1 yards per attempt the last 5 years. The 5 years before that, he was at 8.4. So he hasn't been able to throw the ball down the field. I think if Matthew Stafford – I think they're going to score points on the Bears. I think they'll move the ball on the Bears. I think the question mark is going to be, can Detroit stop people? They're the worst 2-minute defense in all of football last year. And if you can't get off the field in 2 minutes, that's going to cost you games.
Minus Darius Slay as well.
Yeah, minus Darius. Well, you know, they got the first round pick, right? They get Trufant from Atlanta, and they got Justin Coleman, who they signed from Seattle. So they've got 3 guys. But look, it's like baseball. If you throw a steady diet of fastballs, no matter how good you throw fastballs, they hit you. It's the same thing with playing coverage in the NFL. You play too much man, they're eventually going to get to you.
All right. So do you have a lean or anything for that?
I lean towards Chicago and take the. I mean, look, anytime a line comes out for me that opens up, like Denver opened up at a 2-point favorite against Tennessee.
Yep.
Tennessee's now a 2.5-point favorite. I'm always going to go back to the team where the Vegas doesn't screw up the lines that bad where they, you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
The perceptions move the line, not the reality.
Yeah, and my worry is, The Lions are the Lions, and for them to be people, they could be the Browns of last year. That's the type of hype that they have right now going into week one.
Yeah, they could be. You know, for me on my pod, you know, when I like this would be a game that I would not give out on my pod because I think there's too much uncertainty here. But I like Chicago. I lean towards Chicago in this game. I think Chicago matches up to them, and I think Detroit has a hard time rushing the passer, which makes MVP Mitch feel really comfortable.
All right. Speaking of the Browns, Michael, I kind of like 7.5. I think it's a lot of points. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, look, last year, it depends on what game you want to go to. The game in Baltimore, Cleveland ran the football,
yep.
Right? They ran the ball, and Baker Mayfield didn't cost them the game, right? The recipe for the Browns this year is the same one that won the game in Baltimore. We're going to run the football. We're going to, you know, run Hunt. We're going to run Chubb. And we're going to limit keeping – we're going to keep this guy out of shotgun. We're going to keep him under center. We're going to run play-action passes. I think Cleveland's got a chance to be a good team. I think they're one of my sleepers team. I would take the points in this game. I think anytime you get a divisional matchup, I think it's always tighter than what the line is.
Yeah, there's a stat. I did have it in front of me. The division where the game's more than 7.5 points, the dog is always a safe pick there, Gumpy.
Yeah, I like the Ravens. I know it's a lot of points, but I feel like it's still a good spot for this Baltimore team over Cleveland.
Yeah, and then Michael, is there something to the Browns having the Ravens the first game of the year and having all offseason to prepare for an offense like they're running with Lamar Jackson?
Well, it's great in theory. That sounds good. But who do you have on your team that can simulate Lamar Jackson?
True.
I mean, there's nobody that runs as fast as he do that's on your team, right? You could say, well, put Beckham back there. Let him play quarterback. He ain't as fast as Lamar.
Baker thinks he is.
Landry's not as fast as Lamar. You don't have anybody on your team as fast as Lamar. Plus, you know, who's throwing the ball 70 yards like the Bionic Man down the field? You don't have anybody can do that either. So, you know, it looks good in theory. Hey, we have all this time to prepare for it. Like, you know, Middle Tennessee had all that time to prepare for Army, right?
Yep.
But once the game started, Middle Tennessee, the game was moving too fast for Middle Tennessee. You know, whereas BYU against Navy was different because BYU's quarterback was really good and they could throw the football. And if when Navy got behind, it was over, right? You know, Navy's offense isn't to play catch-up.
All right, Michael, let's go to Packers at Vikings. Vikings are currently -2.5. It opened at 3, so a little bit of movement towards the Vikings there. 45.5 is the over-under. I'm taking under big here. 21-16 and 23-10 was the scores last time or last season. They tend to play low-scoring tight games. What are your thoughts on this game?
Well, I think so, too. You know, I think Mike Zimmer wants it to play close. He doesn't want to let the game get away from him. Plus, you know, both teams want to run the football. I mean, Kubiak wants to run it, and so does LaFleur, you know. And so when you want to run the ball, the clock's going to get reduced down. So typically, you know, when you play a game, you think you're going to get 75 plays, right? This game's probably going to come in at 62. And that's going to lean itself towards the under. You know, that's going to lean itself. Because one thing, when you run the football, you don't make a lot of big plays. Running the ball kicks field goals. Explosive plays score touchdowns. I mean, don't ever forget that. So I do think look, Minnesota struggled to play Green Bay. Green Bay's defensive line kicked the shit out of Minnesota last year in both games. It was hard for them. Here's my problem with Minnesota. Is Thielen was the number two receiver last year. Now he becomes the number one. Is he really a number one receiver? You know, can he beat double coverage? I know he's a good player. I'm not disputing that. But it's different when you're the number two guy to become the number one.
Do you think Jefferson can help out covering that for him?
Yeah, but young players early in the season, I think if you're counting on a rookie who's never really played. Now, I know LSU's played at a high level. Don't get me wrong. But there's a whole different element there when you're doing that. I think it's going to be interesting to see how that goes.
And then some trends on that one. Minnesota is 9-1 against spread in their last 10 games at home in September. Green Bay is 8-2 when they're playing Minnesota, and they're actually on a 6-game under run between those twos. Let's move to Colts at Jaguars. Earlier you talked about the Jaguars getting a lot of sharp action. Are you going that way?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm not trusting Gardner Minshew and this whole bunch. I mean, you know, I think Indianapolis will be well coached. I love Frank Wright. I think they'll run the football effectively. I think they'll do a lot of good things in the game. You know, I think their defense will be much improved with Buckner. I like Minshew, but I thought Minshew at the end of last year kind of got you know, worn down. He's not a big guy. So, you know, who are the weapons for Jacksonville? Who are you worried about? Now, here's what I'm worried about, and here's why I wouldn't play this game. I'm worried about the heat and humidity in Jacksonville.
Okay.
I'm worried about Indianapolis going down there wearing their blue jerseys, you know, and getting really worn out by the fourth quarter and having a rally come back. That's what I'm worried about.
This reminds me, though, of when not saying the Colts are as good as the Ravens were last year, but the Ravens went down to Miami last year, I believe, in week one and won by 40 in a similar situation where it seemed like the Dolphins were trading every single human away, and Jacksonville seems just
to be doing the same thing. Yeah, it's seems got the same feel to it, and there's no doubt. But, you know, again, and I think I love Frank Wright. I think, you know, if Indy wins, they better win the first quarter.
Exactly.
You know, if I'm Frank Wright, I'm talking to my team saying, look, we got to get ahead here. We got to make them play from behind. We got to make them pass protect. We got to do that.
All right, Michael, two more games before we get out of here today. Raiders at Panthers. We already talked about the line move there for the Raiders. You're going to stay away from that. Or does that mean you're going on the other side with the Panthers at all?
No. Well, I mean, I have a hard time with this game because, A, my son works for the Panthers, so I don't want to jinx it. And B, you know, I don't like ever being on the side of the public. So, you know, but I don't know enough about Carolina's offense to really feel good about it. I need to – this is one of those games I want to see Matt Rhule's team play a little bit before I bet on them.
Michael, I'm the same way. You will never hear me put in a bet for or against the Steelers on the show because I do not want to jinx them.
Yeah, I don't like to do – you won't hear me talk about New England betting or because my son works there or the Panthers because and just for the record, I never bet anyway. So
I know.
You know, I never bet. I just give up betting because really what I'm doing here is no different than what I did in the NFL. My expertise is to study NFL teams and break down games. That's what I do.
All right, the last game that I want to talk about is your former employer in the Patriots, currently giving 6.5 to the Dolphins there at home. Gumpy, by the way, is a Dolphins fan. I don't know if you've seen his Tua jersey. He's really excited about the future there.
hopefully he'll stay healthy.
Right, let's hope.
What are your thoughts in a kind of revenge spot here for the Patriots?
This is an interesting game, right? So this game's – what do you have it at?
I have it at 6.5 currently.
I have it at 6.5 on my board too, at Circa and Veasan's numbers. But I think this, you know, so the money coming in is all Miami money at 6.5. It's all Miami money, and they haven't moved the line. They won't give you that half point. Mm-hmm. They're not moving that line. That is a worry for me. That's a red flag for me. Why? Why aren't they moving that line? You know, they should move this line, and they have. So it's going to be interesting. I think I would lean towards these games being closer, you know, but I think this. I think Cam Newton's the best quarterback in the East. I think Belichick's the best coach in the East. I think it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, my only worry would be so many new defensive pieces for Miami. Flores is a great defensive coach, but it's still a lot of faces without any preseason games or anything like that, Mike.
And here's the other thing you have to worry about. Miami wants to be a man-to-man cover team. They drafted the corner in the – they signed Byron Jones. They got Xavier Howard. Mm-hmm. They drafted a corner who I can't say his name in the first round from Auburn, right? So there's three corners that they've paid significant dollars to. They're going to line up and play man-to-man. You play man-to-man against Cam Newton, he might lead the team in rushing that day.
All right, Michael, I appreciate you. Do you have anything on the college game tonight, UAB and Miami?
You know, I think – well, UAB's played a game already,
yes, correct.
Right? And I don't trust Manny Diaz is getting his team ready. Nope. I mean, we saw it last year, you know, so I lean towards UAB. Once again, I'm in the dark on these college games. Until I can see something, it's hard to really say.
Yeah, I hear you, because Miami brings in De'Aaron King, and they have a new OC. Their D-end, who had 15.5 sacks, opted out. And then UAB, who returned 17 starters, had a warm-up game last year. They had, like, 460 yards of offense, plus – last year, Miami lost to Louisiana Tech, FIU, and they beat Central Michigan by 5. I don't trust this Miami team at all.
I don't either. I don't know how anybody could go in there. But you know what's funny about this? This is why the NFL and college football, we need it. I don't know about your ticket count, but my ticket count here is almost 7,500 tickets being written for that have been written for that game already. Mm-hmm. And if you take all the NBA games today and tomorrow, that doesn't even come to 5,000.
Football is king, Michael. Football is king. Hey, thanks so much for jumping on and being part of this year.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, sorry we kept you a little long. We will be quicker tomorrow. Have a great evening. Who was playing the music? What is going on? Oh, is that the end of the show?
Are you done?
We are now.